Bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Bet the Board podcast, all things NFL week 6 on the docket. I am your host, Todd Furman, joined as always by the man who knows the NFL better than anybody else that I know, Payne Insider. What's going on there, buddy?
Not too much. Good day. You wake up, Yankees advance. Bitcoin is killing it, like Donald Duck there, diving in the coins.
That's what I would say. All things coming up roses, at least so far today. Let's hope we can keep that momentum going on the podcast. As always, we'll be joined by Dave Mason later in the show, who shares where the public and the professionals are placing their cash, how those trio of road favorites getting to the window during NFL Week 5 treated his lovely operation. Of course, a Thursday night football preview brought to you courtesy of the American Gaming Association Sports Betting Coalition between the Eagles and Panthers. But first, a little bit of housekeeping, Payne, and we get to crown another weekly winner in the 5K football free roll.
Yeah, I was actually prepared for this. Now I'm not for some reason.
That's always good to know. You start prepared and you fail to be prepared when the podcast actually starts.
I had written this down somewhere. Brian Dykes. You can find him on Twitter at BrianDykes5. He went a perfect 5-0. Got the Monday Night Football score pegged correctly. And then he went on third tiebreaker. He's got 19 points so far, which is fantastic. So he's not only the winner this week for week 5, but he's got a shot to win the whole thing.
19 points is good, but when you look at some of the records that a lot of our loyal listeners are putting up, I've been pretty impressed. And I do have to give a shout out to a man who, it doesn't say the NFL is his specialty. He's our soccer writer around here. And he's put up 20 plus points through at least the first 5 weeks of the season. So it proves it is a global game.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, UK betting pro putting up some numbers, though. So shout out to James Kempton out there.
Not football, but football.
Exactly. The money, though, just as green, obviously, in different countries. Comes in different colors. But let's get down to the games. No reason to waste anybody's time today. And we can start with the Browns and Texans, where Houston is a 10-point favorite at betonline.ag. Total on this game, 47. Payne, the total sees some very real over money. Number opened at 44, out to 47. Love to say that that was largely because of the impact Kevin Hogan can have on the offense, but I get the feeling it's got a little bit more to do with some of the guys that won't be out there on the Texans' defensive line.
Probably.
Very convincing argument over there. Very convincing.
Let me kind of paint this out here. First of all, pros have kind of steamed this Cleveland team. Their total's over virtually every single week. So it was inevitable that once they got what most feel is a semi-competent quarterback that actually cares, they're going back to the well here. So, you know, there was an originator that came in over 44, which is the largest key number for NFL totals right now. And you had some sharper followers at 45. We saw that number get away a little bit. Now we have chasers at 46. We're now entering another key number here at 47. So, partly, there's a lot of things going on here. For whatever reason, Cleveland totals have been steaming over. Haven't been overly successful in that regard, but, you know, hit or miss. Then you get the injuries. And it's obviously J.J. Watt. Merciless. They're worth about 1.5. This is a team that couldn't get pressure anyways. And now they're going to have to manufacture a little bit more pressure, which is going to leave them susceptible in the back end. When you look at the Browns, their defense, I know I've seen some improvement stopping the run, but we kind of always talk about this being a passing league. And right now they're 31st in defensive passing efficiency. And it's come against the easiest slate of opposing offenses. Greg Williams, Yeah, go ahead.
No. So I was going to say, I wasn't sure if you were going to make an endorsement for Deshaun Watson
at
this point, talking about how bad the Browns' secondary is, but I didn't want to cut you off, so I'll let you go on the Greg Williams rant.
No, I mean, you know, Deshaun Watson, he's had, everyone fell in love with him with one performance against a shoddy defense in the Titans, myself included. Last week, most of that done in garbage time. He hasn't been great at this point. When you go back to this total and in the sides, you're going to have two really aggressive defenses. Greg Williams, he loves to bring the heat. And his hand has kind of been forced in that regard. They haven't been able to get natural pressure on the opposing QB. So, you know, you look at this, they're number one in the NFL, the Browns, blitzing 46% of downs. That increases to 50% on passing downs. Last week, Greg Williams went up to 60% blitzes on pass downs. That's going to leave your secondary that's not very good exposed. The Texans, a similar approach. They're actually number two in blitz percentage. You would think that probably is going to tick up with those guys that we mentioned on defense out, Watt and Merciless. So there's going to be some opportunity here for some explosive plays from these offenses.
When you look at Cleveland's defense, do you think it gets any better with the introduction of the number one overall pick in Myles Garrett? Danny Shelton, I believe, was back playing a large majority of the snaps. And you look at Cleveland's defensive performance. Now, I know it's only the Jets, but they did hold them in check to 220 yards and built a 2-1 yardage advantage. So maybe we're seeing a little bit of deflation in Cleveland's numbers, because everything statistically last week said they should have gotten into the win column. It felt like more self-inflicted wounds than anything else.
They should have won last week, and they didn't because of their quarterback, and that's why we have this changing of the guard right now with Kevin Hogan. Defensively, you get Myles Garrett back. Didn't play a ton of snaps last week. Limited practice this week. The ankle still isn't 100%, but he at least provides them some help with a natural pass rush. Danny Shelton obviously is a run clogger. He's, you know, not great in terms of getting pressure. Collins looks to be back this week. He's, you know, going to clear the concussion protocol. So that's an added bonus for their defense. But right now, when you just kind of look at the secondaries and look at how they have to get pressure, it's going to leave some things open in the back half. There's no doubt about that. So the over is very real. I'm not endorsing it now at 47. Certainly an upgrade. I would say at least a point and a half in terms of Kevin Hogan under center. And that's something you're probably going to want to monitor. We'll see if we continually gradually tick that up a little bit in terms of his worth over Kaiser. I don't know where this closes.
That's what I was going to ask. Do we think it closes 9.5 across the board, or do we think the 10 that we're seeing right now at betonline.ag ends up holding?
It's tough to say. I mean, I've already seen little nibbles at 10 on Cleveland. I don't think it's going to be anything, from what I'm told, anything massive at this point. But, you know, at 10, there's some guys nibbling.
When you look at Cleveland overall, and I'm not a huge trends guy by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they're fun to talk about. Cleveland, Payne, the last 30 times they've been an underdog, 7-23 against the spread. The last 35 games they've played, 9-26 against the spread. And the last 17 times they've taken their show on the road, 5-12 against the spread, and a lowly 1-16 straight up. We talk about markets and how markets become efficient. Have books done enough to try and entice action on the Browns, or are they still overselling this team nearly every damn week?
It's only so high you can make an NFL team. I mean, I don't know. Last week there was a ton of value on them when you looked at the market. It was crazy, that number. Absolutely crazy. And they managed to shoot themselves in the foot again. So, I mean, this is just a bad franchise. I don't know how you start to quantify them. I mean, they do everything wrong. That's just the reality of it. And for us, you know, we thought there would be a little tick up. We weren't really, the talent, they're talent deficient still. I wasn't quite sure with all these draft picks they've had over the last few years that they were this bad. They're still pretty bad. But at this point, 10 seems to be some value. Last week, though, we thought there was a lot of value. That number last week was ridiculous. Still couldn't cover.
They still couldn't find a way to get their backers to the window. So obviously the Browns at 10, you do have a little bit more wiggle room. They don't have to win this game outright, would just have to slide under that generous number. Be interesting to see how the Texans respond off of all those injuries, knowing that they do have a bye week looming next weekend. To the Superdome, where a team comes back from a bye. It's the New Orleans Saints, a 4.5-point favorite at betonline.ag. Full disclosure, this number isn't available at every shop amid speculation around Matthew Stafford's status. Total in this game, 50. And Payne, I guess the first question, Stafford's injury, how serious is it? And do we say he's 70-30 to be out there on Sunday, or do we think we need to try and lower some of those expectations?
Not quite sure. The line indicates one thing. I will say this. You know, the Lions are down multiple starting offensive linemen, as it is. And it looks like their prized acquisition, TJ Lang, he's missed practice so far this week. He's dealing with a back. He's going to be 50-50. The line issues are only going to magnify Stafford's issues here. He's dealing with an ankle injury. He finished last week. That's usually a sign that he's going to play this week. If you can finish the game last week, usually you're gonna start it this week. He's tough as nails. He has practiced so far this week, but there's a catch to that. I've been told every single practice snap this week has come from the shotgun. So it sounds like Stafford won't be lining up under center, which changes a lot, I think. I don't know if that's going to be the case come game day, but if you're forced into shotgun every single snap, you're limited offensively in terms of the looks you can show a defense. So it's going to have an impact regardless of whether he's out there or not. He's practiced so far. My feeling is he's out there. So that's what I have on that situation.
When we look at the Saints, we know that they were dealing with some offensive line injuries of their own headed into the bye week. Do we expect all those guys to be out there and at least close to a full go?
One guy was placed on the season-ending IR. Teron Armstead practiced on a limited basis yesterday, so we're monitoring that closely. I know Willie Snead practiced yesterday a little bit. Those would be two nice weapons to have back in the fold. I think when you look offensively, it's, you know, AP's gone. That distraction's gone. That means more snaps, more rhythm for your two best backs. That should only help the offensive efficiency. Alvin Kamara, he's going to feast moving forward when you start to look at the defenses they play in terms of how they cover running backs out of the backfield. He is going to have a field day the next 5-6 weeks. It starts this week. Everything, and we talked about this on the Monday podcast, everything kind of lines up for the Saints here. With revenge, off the bye week, the Lions just aren't very good. And again, when you look at a lot of these metrics, 29th for the Lions in the NFL. They're in negative 1.1 adjusted yards per play. The Saints are a full half yard better in that regard. So again, revenge, not 100% Stafford. Off the bye, home field advantage. 3 was a really short number here. Defensively, I'm going to be interested to see what the Saints are out of that bye week. I've wanted to monitor this unit all season long, and I know they're not world beaters by any stretch, but right now, 23rd in defensive efficiency. That's come against the 12th best schedule of opposing offenses. It's a young defense, new parts. I'm really interested to see what they look like as the season progresses. This is one of those units I kind of talked about previously that's similar to the Dallas team last week, right? We just, again, focus on extreme things, something exceptional or a dumpster fire. We know this Saints offense is elite. All you need is an average defense. So any type of slight upgrade defensively is going to make this team really, really good. Start to look at what the Saints defense has been the last 3 years. They have not finished better than 31st in defensive efficiency. So even moving up to 23rd, it's a sneaky progression there that you're going to have to factor in.
Well, and I would go one step further, too, in terms of progression for the Saints. We saw them get torched week one on Monday Night Football against the Vikings. They weren't any better when New England came into their house, and we know the Patriots are going to make a lot of defenses, especially ones that are below average, look bad. But over the last two times we saw them going into the bye, they held a Carolina team in check that suddenly found their footing, and I'm not quite sure, you know, what we want to attribute that to. Obviously, shutting out the Dolphins isn't exactly great, but you have to imagine it builds some confidence. So you mentioned that 23rd ranked Saints defense as far as overall efficiency. I have to imagine there's room for improvement. So it definitely will be interesting to see against the Lions team, who shouldn't be operating at 100%.
No, without question. I think this is one of the units that you are going to want to monitor, because anytime they even tick up a little bit. We know what that offense can do. The offense is fantastic, and the offense has been great so far this year with some struggles figuring out who to play at running back, some struggles on the offensive line, Willie Snead suspended, so all of a sudden, you start getting Kamara going a little bit more, you get your left tackle back, you get Willie Snead back in the slot. The offense is going to be fantastic. It's going to be there. It's going to be one of the elite units in the NFL. So any little bit of improvement that defense can show is really going to make this Saints team very, very good.
And it'll be an interesting watch as we continue to see them progress. As you mentioned, that number did open 3, trending closer to 5. Moneyline hovering right around 220 at this point. To the Twin Cities, where the Minnesota Vikings find themselves 3-point home underdogs, playing host to their division rival, the Green Bay Packers. Total in this game, 46.5 at betonline.ag. I know, Payne, we're still operating under the assumption that Sam Bradford could play. I'd be absolutely shocked if he's out there. He was a sitting duck last week against the Bears. So when we look at the Case Keenum matchup against the Green Bay Packers defense, I'd rather start there because I'd rather see weakness on weakness than strength on strength.
Well, Case Keenum has been okay. He's graded out right now the 9th best quarterback in the NFL. Now
he's that high. He's graded out that high so far.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's sustainable. And for me, this was a game I initially had circled Minnesota. They're fantastic at home. They've been good in this matchup. I said to myself, hey, you know, if I can get over a field goal here, I'm going to be really intrigued by Minnesota. Then you start to dig in a little bit and, you know, Stephon Diggs dealing with a groin injury. He's been awesome this year. He's their field spacer. I don't know how severe the groin injury is. Talked to some guys, and I've heard that they'd consider even potentially sitting him out until after the bye. I don't see that being the case. I could be completely wrong, but it's an injury that's bugging him. And now their starting center, who left the Bears game last week, he hasn't practiced yet this week. So initially was pretty gung-ho on Minnesota. Not sure I can do it if Diggs isn't there, if their starting center isn't there. So for me, at this point, I haven't done much.
Now that being said, the number you mentioned, 3.5, those have disappeared from the market as it trends towards 3. Guys probably looking to get out ahead of it. Injury concerns on the other side with Green Bay. Jordy Nelson expected to be a go. I have to imagine Ty Montgomery doubtful at best for the Packers.
I don't really think it matters. Aaron Jones is probably going to take his job here pretty soon.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, Coach McCarthy came out and said that Jones, it was going to be kind of a split workload, but Jones definitely warranted getting more touches there. Do you think it's just a formality that he becomes the workhorse back in this offense?
If it doesn't happen, I mean, for this certain situation, this one game scenario, I mean, I don't think there's any drop off there. That's for certain. Now, you'd love to have both of them. I think Montgomery is, you know, he's a receiver at Stanford. So having him out of the backfield operate on linebackers and safeties is an advantage that you would want to have. So having both of them obviously would be an ideal scenario. But when you talk about the downgrade at running back, I mean, there's really not a downgrade in the running game. I actually think it's an improvement having Aaron Jones out there. Now, you know, 19 for 125 last week. Let's not get completely giddy over that. It is the Dallas defense. So, you know, let's have some realistic expectation for Aaron Jones, and especially, you know, going against the Minnesota defense in that building. He's probably not going to have that much success. But, I mean, anytime you can add a ground game to Aaron Rodgers, that's going to make that offense better. David Bakhtiari, he has practiced a little bit, tried getting out there last week, left the game early. He's practiced so far this week. Let's see what that means. But so far, him and Jordy Nelson have been limited participants yesterday.
You mentioned the Vikings and how good they've been at home. The numbers kind of bear that out from an against the spread perspective. The Vikings over their last 20 home games, 15-5. So clearly making money for their backers. I know we talk about it all the time, Payne, but a little bit different when you have the level of familiarity these two teams do with one another. How much of a disadvantage is it for the Vikings coming into this matchup on a short week?
Not sure it's, you know, these are division games. Everyone knows each other, and I think it actually becomes less of a disadvantage, right? You know, stylistically, you know, personnel-wise, what these teams want to do. You face them in your division, obviously. I mean, that's kind of been, when these teams draft, you know, the easiest way to the playoffs is winning your division. So a lot of these teams stylistically are geared towards facing other teams within their division. That's why these are slugfests usually. I mean, grind it out. So, I mean, I think this is actually less of a disadvantage this week.
It's always good to factor in. We say that it is, becomes a moving target, so obviously that level of knowing your opponent, especially from a division perspective, makes an awful lot of sense. Last thing on this game, the total we saw open at 47, tick down to 46.5. Do we think that's kind of where this number ultimately settles, or do you think we could see some movement in that particular market one way or the other?
Always scary going under an Aaron Rodgers game with that defense, but, you know, if Diggs is out, you're already down Delvin Cook, potentially out your center, you're on your backup quarterback, although he's performed pretty well. He's a backup for a reason. Division game, I could see this potentially trending a little lower.
Be interesting to keep tabs on that particular situation as well. To the late games we go, where the Los Angeles Rams have their bags packed for a trip to North Florida to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jags, a 2.5-point favorite, lay $1.20 at betonline.ag. Total on this game of 42, one of the lower totals in the market as far as full game here at BetOnline. Travel situation for the Rams. Safe to assume that their bags are packed, they're ready to go after this and head across the pond to London.
Leaving for Jacksonville on Friday, and they're going to stay out east and trek to London on Thursday.
So they'll stay there. You look at the recent schedule the Rams have had to play. On the road, they upset the Cowboys, and again, we talked about at great lengths a few weeks ago. Let a glorious opportunity slip through their fingers against a division rival in the Seahawks last weekend in a game where they outplayed them, just couldn't hang on to the football. Do we agree that the market has corrected itself enough? Do we think it's overcompensation for Jacksonville beating the Steelers, a game that they were outgained in, but obviously forced Big Ben into 5 interceptions?
You know, one of the sharpest books opened 2.5. Has not budged. I feel like 2.5 is a great number. That's what I would make it. I did see someone nibble at 3. I mean, this stinks. I will say that. Like, I was like a little schoolgirl at the mall here when I looked at this schedule 2 weeks ago and saw this spot. I mean, this was going to be a fantastic spot. Everything was aligned. Now, not so much in the present moment. And a lot of these have been unfolding negatively. And that's why, you know, volume has been down for us. A lot of these spots we've circled, they just don't seem to play out the week prior. So, not as high in this game as I initially thought I would be. I don't really know where to go with this. I mean, more so intrigued at the total, I guess.
Well, and before you get to that, I do want to ask you, because obviously it'll go hand in hand. The Jags defense, by some metrics, appearing to be number one in defensive efficiency. You watch more of these teams than anybody. Does the eye test match up with the metrics for Jacksonville on that side of the ball?
They're very good. I mean, number one in pass efficiency defense. It's a passing league, so that's key. You can run on them. That is for certain. Mike Tomlin chose not to do that a week ago.
Smart, clearly.
Uneven efforts. I mean, you know, the Tennessee game was 6-3 at the half. That was more of a byproduct of Bortles throwing up on himself in the second half. I think they've kind of figured out how to do things here. I mean, Bortles threw the ball 14 times last week, and this is going to be crazy. Only once in the second half. So that's what this team is right now, and I kind of alluded to this last week, gave a little hint. It's a dead nut under team. You know, we had question marks about this Jaguars offensive line coming into the season. It's been ground and pound. There's certainly still some more room for improvement. But I'm looking at this. They've been pretty damn good. 9th in adjusted sack rate. Right now, they're actually number one in yards gained before defenses close on the running back. So they're giving Fournette nearly 1.2 yards before opposing defenders close in. That's number one in the NFL. So Fournette's been great, but through 5 weeks, he's getting a lot of help and push up front. We didn't expect that. When you look at the Rams defense, that continues to improve. Aaron Donald, fully in the fold, getting better each week. Wade Phillips' defense, he's right now closing in on being top 10 in both defensive success rate against the run and the pass. So that's a unit that keeps getting better. As the team gets more familiar with Wade Phillips' scheme, as Aaron Donald is now 100%, that's a unit that's getting much better. And really why I think this is starting to tick down is if you've read between the lines, McVay has talked about being more balanced this week. He didn't like his quarterback, Jared Goff, throwing 47 times last week and Gurley running at just 14. For the most part, that was a one-score game. So, you know, after hearing that and McVay seeing probably what Jacksonville's defense did to Big Ben, I could see a concerted effort here to get Gurley going, especially, you know, that's how you beat the Jaguars, on the ground. So, you know, the Rams are certainly the faster-paced team here. If they're sticking to the ground, that's a benefit. Again, Jaguars, dead, not under. So we have seen this come off that key number of 44. We've seen it come off the second key number most places in 43. This is why.
Makes a ton of sense. One little nugget here. When you look at Jacksonville entering this game as a favorite, it's only happened 8 times over the last 3 seasons. The Jaguars, as you would expect, have not performed well when installed as a favorite. 2-6 against the spread and 2-6 straight up in those particular
They haven't performed
games.
Well ever.
That's a very good point. They are above 500, though, so we're going to have to work on our pronunciation, as we promised a lot of the Jaguar fans out there. I think there are 4 of them that listen religiously to Bet the Board, since we may have covered their games that weren't in prime time maybe 4 times since the inception of this podcast.
They might all be across the pond, too, but, you know, Mark Brunell ain't walking through that door.
That's a very good point, although I would love to see a Keenan McCardle sighting out there.
I think he's
in
on
some
the
capacity.
Staff. So, he's on someone's staff.
I know he's on a coaching staff. I'm not sure where, but I'm talking about...
You're going to make me look this up now. I'm pretty certain I saw him. I saw that.
Let him get out there. Let him catch passes. But
you can
while
go
you're
on
looking
while
that
I'm
up.
Looking.
Yeah, no, I know. I was going to, even with or without your permission. Okay. Another late game, Tampa Bay on the road against the Arizona Cardinals. Tampa, 1.5-point road favorite in the desert. Total in this game, 45 at betonline.ag. And Payne, when we talked about this game on the look ahead number, you mentioned it. Tampa realized that they had this game circled after being absolutely obliterated when these two teams met a season ago. Good news from the defensive side for Tampa. Quan Alexander, Lavonte David, TJ Ward have all practiced. The extent of that still very much up in the air. But I ask you this, laying points on the road with Jameis Winston, is it a good idea? Is it a dangerous proposition? You know, what do we make of this Bucs offense that has all the pieces but hasn't really put together what I would define as a sustained effort over the course of 60 minutes?
That's a good question. More importantly, Keenan McCardell is a wide receivers coach for Jacksonville. I knew I'd seen that
guy. So there
guy
we go.
Out
I knew
there.
I knew he was there somewhere, but get him out there catching passes, damn it. I want a little turn back the clock type scenario.
I mean, when you talk about Tampa, I'm not in love with Dirk Cutter. That's the first thing. Jameis Winston obviously is somewhat of the issue here. It's just roller coaster performances. When you start to dig in, he's actually has the highest percentage of positive graded throws in the NFL. The catch 22 there is he's had the second highest percentage of negative graded throws. The performances have been way too uneven. Hopefully Doug Martin comes back, adds another dimension to that offense that they didn't have. Maybe him and DeSean Jackson can get on the same page. Right now, they're not even remotely close to being on the same page. That's been the biggest thing here. Now, all the spots, all the situations here favor Tampa. They've had extended time off. They've circled this game on the schedule. They got embarrassed. Their last trip last year to Arizona lost 40-7. This is one they've talked about. Get an Arizona team, West Coast, East Coast Philly, now back home. Not the most ideal spot. They've struggled in their wins. They really haven't beaten anybody. At Indianapolis, at home in overtime, against the 49ers. This is not a good football team. But yes, Tampa Bay installed a road favorite is a little bit scary. I have seen some sharp teasers on Arizona. For me, though, not a game I'm interested in right now. I would actually lean Tampa, but they haven't proven anything on the road. Oh, man. I don't know. This is a tough game for me. I do lean Tampa, but I just don't have anything here. Over has taken some money. 44, again, being very key. You're now up to 45.5. We know Arizona likes to push the ball down the field. There's always some question marks with that Tampa secondary, but again, TJ Ward coming back healthy, that certainly helps solidify things. You get your linebackers back. That's huge. That's going to have to good be factored in for Tampa.
Yeah, it's a good measuring type scenario. Measuring
this
stick
is
type
the measuring
scenario.
Stick right here, for sure.
Yeah, you always wonder when you get some of these guys back. Name recognition plays a huge role, but when they haven't seen live game reps, it could take a you know, a few series, a few quarters, or for some folks, even a few games. You mentioned Arizona and their wins this season. Arizona remains a doormat when it comes to against the spread performance. 0-5 this year in that category. You look at the Cardinals, and we talked about it great lengths years ago about how daunting a place this could be to play. Well, not so much in the point spread category. Last 19 games at home, Arizona, a dreadful 6-13 against the number.
Dirk would like to get a win in Arizona. He had a little falling out there at Arizona State. So going back home and soiling the home crowd probably would make him happy.
Go a long way towards believing that Tampa was capable of some bigger things this season that a lot of people expected from him if you can win on the road against the Cardinals team. That's a very, very one-dimensional. The late afternoon showdown, I think probably the marquee game of the afternoon slate, pits the Kansas City Chiefs, the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kansas City right now a 5-point favorite at betonline.ag, that number trending closer to 4.5. Total in this game, 46.5. You do see some 47s out there. I'll ask you this, Payne. I'm going to make you put on your psychologist hat first and foremost. How do you begin to try and handicap the infighting that we've seen from the Steelers? If it's Big Ben pointing fingers, Le'Veon Bell going after former teammate Ryan Clark on social media, Antonio Brown temper tantrums, you know, how does this play a role in terms of the product that we're going to see on the field where it matters most?
I feel like I'm not the guy that should be in the chair, but the one laying down on the couch.
Well, that may be a different discussion for a different day.
You know, Big Ben follows up the I might be done quote with a complete 180 this week. And now he's, you know, we're not panicked. The locker room right now, you know, they're not all hanging out together. It's not all rosy in that locker room. They're going to have to figure it out. This is the most talented team in football. Mike Tomlin cannot mess this up.
By the way, I want to just say that again. The most talented team in football, no, it isn't the Kansas City Chiefs like you listen to a lot of the media people out there calling them the best team. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, it's not close. I mean, offensively, the offensive line's fantastic. You got some weapons out there. You got Le'Veon Bell. You got Big Ben. I mean, there is a ton of weapons. And in years past, it was like, you know, the defense is holding us back. Well, right now, the defense, which is pretty young, all those parts are starting to come together. They're actually a really good defense. So if Mike Tomlin manages to screw the pooch this year, oof. You know, when you look at Big Ben, this is a guy, he likes to take shots down the field. And right now, he's not hitting those. And that's why he's really, really frustrated. He's not hitting the explosive plays consistently. That's what he's been known to do over the years. You know, when they brought in this new offensive coordinator, that's why they butt heads. It was a dink-and-dunk offense that was put in. He likes to take shots. So when you're looking at Big Ben right now, 5 of 27 for 183, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, a league-worst 27 passer rating on throws of 20 or more yards in the air. And that's really where this frustration is coming from. So Big Ben loves to take that deep shot. We saw it last week. Forced it, actually, against Jacksonville multiple times. It's not happening right now, and that's really the foundation of the frustration. The question here, I think, becomes, will Tomlin wake up and run the ball against this horrific Kansas City rush defense? It's imperative to get Le'Veon Bell going on the ground. Everybody's probably sick of hearing this by now, right? Because they've listened to this podcast for years. You can run right at the Kansas City Chiefs. Do it. 50% of runs are grading successful. When you get that going, let's work on the short passing game, because if you can get Brown going in the middle field, if you can get Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield on a linebacker over the middle of the field, that's where you can really hurt this Kansas City Chiefs defense, allowing a 118 passer rating on those short to intermediate throws in the middle of the field. So run Bell, let Big Ben throw it efficiently over the middle of the field, and they're going to have a shot here. This is one of those weird games, right? I think the market, it just lets you know that the market is so important when we start to gauge this game. Because when we were looking ahead, right, Kansas City was the spot we had circled. We're like, hey, hopefully they throw up a dud on Sunday night. You get a little playoff revenge here. Pittsburgh certainly isn't going to lose to Jacksonville. And suddenly, you know, Kansas City at 2.5 in a great spot. We like it. Now all of a sudden you have to reevaluate. This line, before we got on the podcast, out west got as high as 6.
Yeah, there was one shot paying a 6.
I don't know if that was real or some data entry error. But this market's now back down to 4. at 4.5, 5. A lot of the power number guys are going to be gravitating towards Pittsburgh here because the line at that point is just ridiculously nuts.
Playoff revenge for Kansas City, what does that worth in your opinion?
I don't know what it's worth. It's certainly one thing you want to check off in your handicapping box. It's just going to be one element added to why you would potentially like a side, for sure. Am I going to say it's worth a, you know, a full point? I don't know. I think that's probably a bit aggressive, but it's certainly a game they've had circled on the schedule. They seem focused. I mean, they're running through spots they shouldn't be very good in. Like last week.
They've shown no letdown thus far as they continue to rack up covers. So it'll be interesting to try and see. But that being said, they haven't exactly taken on the most daunting of schedules from a talent perspective. There are bad wins by any stretch of the imagination. But as you mentioned, if Pittsburgh is smart, they can replicate the game plan we saw them use so effectively last year in the postseason. Run Le'Veon Bell, pound up the middle, and take full advantage of Kansas City's Achilles heel, which happens to be that interior run defense.
No doubt about that.
When we look at the nightcap pain, and we're going to spend about 60 seconds, maybe 90 seconds max on this particular football game, keeping with tradition where we give you guys at least a nugget or two with Sunday Night Football, even though I'm not sure you guys should be spending time watching this. The Denver Broncos, 11.5-point favorites at betonline.ag as they play host to the New York Football Giants. Total in this game, 38.5. More distractions for the Giants. Dominique Rodgers, Cromartie suspended this week, hasn't really been on the field or able to contribute. How do you even start handicapping the Giants from an internal struggle to the cluster injuries that they're experiencing on their offense?
We're going to rename this type of handicap, by the way, I think. We're going to make all like this the Furman dating handicap here. 90 seconds in and out. Just make it quick. I don't know.
That also includes cuddling by the car, you know, 90 seconds in and out.
What, you know, when you're 0-5 and the season's over and you don't love your head coach, how quickly do you check out when things are not going south, but south? Like you're at the bottom of the pool right now. You know, how quickly are you going to push through an injury to play? You know, Olivier Vernon has an ankle injury, missed last week. Let's see if he goes. Brandon Marshall, I got a text literally right after that game. He's like, he was going to power through it. He wanted to play against Denver. All of a sudden, he turns 34 in March. The Giants are 0-5. He might have one or two seasons left in the tank. And why prolong surgery, you know, for this current situation? Of course he's not. So, you know, I don't know what the Giants are. I think they're finished at this point.
You can say bad. It's okay to say the Giants are bad.
They're bad. I mean, they're finished. Stick a fork in them. They're done. Now, the question becomes, at 12, is there going to be some value here? I'm not really sure. I know we like to bash this offensive line, and it has not been great. But Eli has actually had the third most time to throw of any quarterback this season. Let's see if that Broncos defense can get pressure. My feeling is they'll be able to. I don't want any piece of Eli with pressure in his face. We know what Eli is without Beckham, too. Now without Marshall, without Dwayne Harris, Sterling Shepard hasn't practiced this week so far. I'm not sure what this offensive looks like. You can't run the ball. I mean, this could get ugly quick.
It is going to be a problem for the Giants. Very difficult to try and back a team like this going forward. You figure if they have anything left in the tank, they'll show up on national TV on Sunday night, but not a game that we're going to spend a ton of time with. As compared to the Thursday night football game. And as always, the big game breakdown comes to you courtesy of the American Gaming Association. Their sports betting coalition aims to educate, advocate, empower, and deliver information regarding their ongoing legalization efforts. For more information, go to sportsbettingamerica.com. A lot of great content there, so you can keep up on all the efforts trying to figure out when sports betting will be available at a casino near you. Payne, we've seen movement on the side. We've seen movement on the total for tonight's game between Philadelphia and Carolina. Right now at BetOnline, Carolina holding strong as a 3.5-point favorite. You do have to lay $1.25 if you want to bet the underdog, but the under money appears to be real as well, 45 shaded to the under. May as well start with the injury concerns, the biggest one probably on this Eagles offensive line.
Yeah, Lane Johnson. He's out. That hurts. We saw what his presence meant last year, season ago. I mean, they just couldn't run the ball without him. A lot of pressure. was put on Wentz without him. That is a significant loss. There's no other way to slice that. It's unfortunate because the Eagles right now are rolling. There's nothing really more to say about that. That's a significant loss, and it's going to be factored in. It's going to rear its head tonight.
When we look at these two teams, do you believe in either of them as legitimately viable contenders in the NFC, given their records and their start to the season, with two quarterbacks who are prone to an uneven level of performance from time to time?
Carolina's trending up, and they're going to get some guys back health-wise. So I think this is a team that we need to really start considering being a power in the NFC. The Eagles, not really sure what they are at this point. I know they're winning games. They're a different club at home than they are on the road. I just don't know what they are. They're getting bye games. Arizona didn't show up last week. I'm not really sure what this team is. There's something there that's preventing me from getting on board the Eagles train. I can't really put my finger on it. Still some question marks about Doug Peterson. Again, I know they're performing well. With Lane Johnson out, let's see what it does to the ground game. Still, again, don't love their secondary. They have holes is the problem. When you have a couple holes, you have Wentz, who really hasn't shown an ability at this stage in his career to do anything on the road. Scares me. So I'm not fully buying in yet to Philadelphia.
Are you fully buying into Carolina and this offensive resurgence we've seen from them scoring 30-plus in their win against New England, following that up with a 27-point outburst on the road, winning two games outright as underdogs in recent weeks, that Cam Newton is finally healthy or something close to it at this point?
Well, Cam Newton is certainly getting healthier. And last week, he was fantastic. He was actually better than the numbers showed. He had 7 incompletions. 3 of those were drops. So, you know, he threw for 355. Detroit's defense, though, I think they're a little overrated. And we know what New England's defense is. So, certainly it helped playing two very, very soft defenses, in my opinion. But they're going to be trending in the right direction. Greg Olsen looks like he's progressing quicker than people thought. So, getting him back into the fold will be a nice mix. Kelvin Benjamin's still dealing a little bit with the knee, but he's getting healthier. I know Funchess is dealing with an injury, but when he can get going. So there are some weapons here. They got to figure out how to get this ground game going, though. Right now, they're not doing much in that regard. If you can get the ground game going, it's really going to open things up for Cam because he likes to pass the ball deep. You can get play action off that. I actually like Carolina a little bit better. That's going to sound crazy than I do Philadelphia, but I do like them a little bit better long-term. Stylistically, when I look at this game, and I agree with the under money just based on pace, right? You know, the Eagles are pretty slow. First half pace, 27th in the NFL. Carolina, 29th in first half pace. So the pace is certainly going to be there. And I'm not sure if Wentz can, you know, sustain what he's been doing on third down. You watch last week's game against Arizona. First half, it was just nothing but third and long, third and long, third and long. I just don't know if you can sustain that. He is leading the league, 71% completion percentage, 11 yards per pass attempt, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception on third down.
Those are pretty good numbers by my quick, simple math.
It's been fantastic, and I just can't see that going anywhere but down. Stylistically, though, back to that. Carolina plays a quarters defense. They play their corners off. They keep everything in front. You have an Eagles offense that is built on the quick pass. Philly is going to take what you give them underneath. As good as Luke Kuechly is in coverage, you start to look at this Panthers defense, what they allow in terms of passer rating underneath. On routes of 0 to 14 yards, the Panthers are allowing a 93 rating left, 103 rating in the middle of the field, and 114 out to the right. On a short week, they're not going to be changing much defensively. I think that quick passing game is going to be there if Wentz is on target. That's the catch-22 here. He has not been very good on the road. Those splits are pretty staggering.
With regards to the number, I feel comfortable saying that I think this number ultimately closes 3 flat everywhere. Total, I mean, do we think it continues to trend down? It comes off the key number 45? Or do you think this is more or less where it settles? And we're talking about a game, hey, 3-45, let bettors do what they want with it. We'll get Dave Mason's thoughts in a minute because I'm interested to hear what he has to say about how this game may shake out from a betting percentage standpoint. But have to think it's going to be close to 50-50 on the side.
Yeah, right now you're looking at, you know, there's not going to be a massive need for a position. I'm looking at tickets right now and calculating math at 100% here. Looks like 55-45. There we go. Got that better
this
week.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed that you can do that so quickly, all on one fell swoop to figure out. You know, you have one piece of the puzzle, get to 100 by adding in the other component. And I know folks are sitting there waiting on bated breath for investment advice this weekend, but we have the aforementioned Dave Mason waiting in the wings.
He joins us every Thursday here on the Bet the Board podcast, and I'd imagine he's in a somewhat chipper mood today with the rise in price of Bitcoin. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Mason, B-O-L. And Dave, have you taken your crypto fortune and bought yourself multiple properties?
Working on my 10th yacht as we speak, working from my yacht. No, yeah, right. And, yeah, no, man, definitely a little extra spring in my step this morning. It's exciting stuff that it's up to over, I think it's like 5,200 or something now. So more and more people getting turned on to it, more and more people using it to fund their betonline.ag account and receive their 100% Bitcoin bonus. But
I was going to say it's one of the best ways to try and fund your betonline.ag account, correct?
It is the best way. I mean, it's fast. No fees going in, going out. You know, people getting paid in a few hours, just like the old days, just like it should be, right? So, yeah, it's great. I mean, the people that are using it, they don't go back to anything else. They use that. Little takes a couple hours to set up, and you got to do a little, you know, a little bit of research here and there. But once you get that out of the way, and it's easy as it gets.
We'll have to get you running tutorials. But speaking of money in and money out, primetime last weekend, you had the New England Patriots win at Tampa 19-14, covering the closing number as road favorites. The Chiefs did the same thing on Sunday night. And depending on where the number was on Monday, you could make the case that you had three road favorites all come in the island football games. Those decisions, I'm guessing going out on a limb, weren't exactly the best thing for the house.
No. Especially the Patriots. and
thanks for that level of detail, Dave. No.
No. Skip that question. No. Especially, I mean, that Patriots and Chiefs, it was just – I think that was, what, like six in a row there, six primetime games in a row? And, you know, those primetime games are generally getting twice the action than the average 1 o'clock game. So, you know, when you lose those, it takes a couple, two, three, 1 o'clock games to make that up, you know. The Monday night game, we, like you said, it depends on the number. It ended up being a small win. So I guess we broke the public streak of killing us on every primetime game. But it wasn't, you know, I was expecting a lot more Tuesday when I got the figure from the guy. So it was a small win for us, but at least we didn't get crushed like we have been the last two and a half weeks or whatever it's been.
Dave, I'm going to throw you a little curveball here. I'm looking at the board. There's five games potentially with double-digit spreads. What does that look like generally in terms of handle and volume for your sportsbook?
Yeah, that's a good question. Action goes down a little bit on that, I think. I mean, you know, I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the bet count here. Let me see. And, yeah, some of those games are getting some of the higher bet count. The Patriots is still one of the bigger bet counts, and they're at 9.5 right now, so they're knocking on the door. But, you know, even though it's still some of the higher bet count, it would be a lot higher if they were like in -3, -4, -5 point favorite on the road somewhere, if you know what I mean, if that makes sense. So it does hurt the action, the overall action a little bit, but end of the day, they're going to be betting the good team against the bad team. They would just bet it more if the good team was, you know, in that 3, 4, 5, 6 point favorite range as opposed to double digits.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when we kind of hone in on week 6, where is all that public action coming in so far?
Public action, week 6. Packers Packers is going to be a big one, 86% on the Packers. Like I said, what are they, minus three right now? I believe I don't have the screen in front of me, but that's one of those minus three, good team on the road at a perceived not so good team or average team. Patriots, 70% of the action, at 9.5 the Jets, 79% on the Bucks. They're minus 1.5. And Broncos, that's another double digit, 71% at the or versus home versus the Giants. So those are the biggest bet counts.
And what are we thinking about this week in terms of sharp action? Give us the goods. I know that all sharp bettors haven't come out yet, but have you seen anything significant so far?
Not a whole lot this week so far. Or some early stuff on the Chiefs. They're up to minus 5 now. In Arizona, plus 2. That was sharp. That's just at plus 1.5 now. So not a whole hell of a lot as of yet, but I'm sure it'll be pouring in over the next 3 days.
Always good to hear things. It isn't all doom and gloom when those standalone favorites come through, but I imagine even if the public isn't flush with some extra cash in their pocket, Dave, how can they start playing and taking advantage of some of your earliest openers in both college and football at betonline.ag?
Yes, sir. If you do not have a betonline.ag account, head on over there. Use promo code 75BTB on your first ever deposit and get a 75% welcome bonus. If you already have a betonline.ag account but not have taken advantage of the Bet the Board reload bonus yet, use promo code 50BTB for a one-time 50% reload. The maximum bonus on those are $1,000, not a few hundred like other sports books, but $1,000. All the terms and conditions can be found at promotions.betonline.ag/bettheboard.
You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Mason BOL. He's with us every Wednesday for college football, every Thursday for all things NFL. Dave, appreciate your time this morning, and good luck this weekend, my friend.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
And I guess not entirely surprising when Dave says, hey, when people bet, they want to bet the good teams, and oftentimes the point spread doesn't let them get in the way of laying it with the Patriots or trying to fade teams like the Giants and Browns every single week. But it definitely fascinating when you consider the fact that people are much more prone to do so when they only have to lay a field goal on the road compared to a lot of the double-digit numbers that we're staring at this week.
Yeah, when I just kind of looked over and glossed over, you know, the point spreads, and you're like, you know, 4 or 5 games of double-digit favorites, you've been behind the counter. Just kind of what does that do to handle? I would think that is a stop sign for most recreational bettors.
It's not a good situation, let's put it that way, because people can really understand that if it's a touchdown or less, oh, hey, all I have to do is pick the team to win. They're not price sensitive for the most part. You know, our listeners are obviously much more sophisticated than some of the recreational bettors that are filling sports books on Saturdays and Sundays, but they go, oh, -6.5, what the hell is the difference with -4? Just go out there and win. It's the exact same thing. When the number starts to get to 7.5 and higher, all of a sudden, even the recreational bettor out there has to try and handicap it a little bit, figure, well, I like Team A, but I don't think they'll blow them out. Well, you know what? I'm just not even going to bet that game. So it eliminates a portion of the board, almost like a blanket corner would do, eliminating part of the field. So as a result, you don't get the same betting handle there. And when you go through the schedule for a lot of these, you know, quote-unquote standalone games or marquee matchups, you know, you have a game in the Chargers and Raiders that's off the board, which would normally create a decent amount of betting handle. Monday night's game between the Colts and Titans, off the board. We'll, of course, preview that here in greater detail and Bet the Board. But just fewer betting options, and when that happens, betting handle reflects that, and it puts sportsbooks in a little bit of a delicate spot. Now, that being said, when we look at some of these bet splits, aside from maybe needing the Steelers and listening to Dave, I don't think there's going to be a ton of liability. Obviously, you're going to need the Jets to get there, but it didn't sound like they're going to be, you know, sitting on the edge of their seat trying to figure out their financial future.
No, it doesn't look like a ton of big decisions yet for the house. Although, Kansas City, what does that look like right now?
I was seeing 70-30 in a lot of the shops that I've talked to, and of course, this is through preliminary betting. Most of the action comes in more on the weekend. Looked to be about a 70-30 split. You know, nobody really wants to run to jump on the Steelers at this juncture. In Kansas City, the talk of the town, lining people's wallets every which way you look.
Yeah. Man, that stuns me. How quickly they jump off Pittsburgh.
Well, we'll see what happens. You burn a people and the betting public as a touchdown favorite, especially with some of those teasers and money line liability
right.
That was out there last week.
Survivor
All of a sudden,
pools.
it's amazing how fast people want to try and start shoveling dirt on your grave to get you 6 feet under. But while the book may not have big decisions, do we have any big decisions that we can create for our loyal listeners? Get them to the window with some conviction to try and build on that Bengals money line winner from last week.
Let's go back to our saving grace.
We're going to do it. We're going to go back to the betting type that put us on the board.
Home.
That made us a household brand and the number one sports betting podcast in the space.
Man, I don't know if we should have been doing this because the market's all messed up now. Man. Yeah, let's go back to a first half under here. Let's go under first half in the Rams-Jaguars game. 21.5 out there right now. Again, I would make an effort to get to that sooner rather than later.
Get that number. Now, I have to ask because I know we're going to get inundated with questions on social media.
I don't answer 21 and a half.
Yeah, I know you don't answer questions, but I'm asking anyways. 21.5 under, let's call it $1.15, $1.20. Encourage people to lay that price, yes, to get the hook up to what, about $1.30, $1.35, your cutoff?
I don't know if I could put that out there, but it's just get the hook if you can.
just get the hook. Okay, perfect. We'll leave it at that. Don't try and get cute and go under 21 at even money or even plus a nickel. Get that extra hook in your back pocket because we don't want to hear it when the game inevitably falls 20. Game did fall 21. We've been there, done this before.
Now, I still think it's a good bet at 21.
There is some wiggle, but not nearly the same.
The value of that hook is not... You're making me go down this road. Properly priced.
No. Don't stop. Okay. Stop yourself before you go down that road. I don't want you to get nasty grams from a lot of the boys you work with. Let's put it this way. Get the hook. Do what you can to try and get the best of the number. Don't listen to this podcast on Sunday and then ask us if it's okay to go under 19.5 because we're not going to respond to stupid questions like that.
I don't know. Man, although I will say this, I don't know how much lower this total can go in terms of, right. I mean, the first half is its own market. So that's going to obviously take some money. But the full game algorithm is certainly going to knock a first half out of whack a little bit. So I'm, you know, at this stage, the initial moves come in. I don't know how much lower the full game is going to go. So, you know, I think maybe this line stays intact a little bit. We'll see. You know, the Rams are fast paced, but again, you do your reading. It sounds like they're going to make a concerted effort to get Gurley a few more touches this week. And we know Jacksonville likes to play slow. They like to run the ball.
Those are usually good recipes for an under, last I checked.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
First half under, as Payne says, this has been our bread and butter on the Bet the Board podcast. We're going back to our roots and foundation. Jags and Rams under the number. And once you cash that ticket on Sunday, head on over to bettheboardpodcast.com or bettheboard.net. Purchase some of that fancy new swag for 2017. Show the love that you guys always do. Make sure on iTunes you rate the podcast 5 stars. Always appreciate it. And Payne, I'm going to give you the chance for last word for the NFL Week 6 podcast before we reconvene on Monday.
That's everything I got, but I will say this. We ship once a week, either Tuesday or Friday. We didn't get everything out Tuesday. Tomorrow is going to be shipping day. You're going to have about until midnight Eastern tonight. So about Thursday, midnight Eastern to get your orders in. If you get them in, they'll go out Friday.
Get the gear and also fill out your damn contest entry. Still weekly prizes to win. Even if you're mired in an 0-25 start to the season, all it takes is 1-5-0 to get you that Bet the Board swag pack. We know people are enjoying it. No reason for you not to partake in that, even if you feel that winning the season-long crown is out of your reach. For Dave Mason, special thanks as he joins us every Wednesday and Thursday. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Mason BOL. You can follow my esteemed co-host, the one that actually brings value to this podcast every week, at Payne Insider. I am Todd Furman. You can follow me on Twitter there as well. Best of luck with all things NFL Week 6. And we'll see you at the window.